Hello and welcome back to the Bi-Week Podcast. This is episode 27. We've been on a long break, just focusing on finishing high school, and now we're graduated. Of course, it's me, Blake Scheel, alongside Cole Roberts. And, you know, we finished high school, we're graduated, we're about to go to college, and we're ready to enter the podcast again and keep recording. So today's mostly a college football special. We're going to start with our 12-team playoff prediction, and then we're going to go to some underrated teams in college football. Then we're going to go into some major busts, teams we think are going to underperform. And then the biggest offseason, we're going to talk about teams that hit the portal very well and recruited very well and look really good this season. And then finally, we're going to end it with some Heisman finalists. All right, let's start with that 12-team playoff. So we're going to start with the 9-8 matchup. Cole, who do you have in that?
All right, in my 8 seed, in my projections, I have the Alabama Crimson Tide going against the 9-seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So for Alabama, you know, obviously a lot of change coming right now with DeBoer in charge, and many of their offensive key pieces though are still there. Their O-line is majorly intact, and they still have their quarterback Jalen Milroe there, which is incredibly important for them. They did lose a few important pieces such as Isaiah Bond. He transferred out to Texas. They lost Caleb Downs, who left for Ohio State. And they also have a lot of question marks on their defense after the draft. Terrion Arnold left. Kool-Aid McKinstry left. Dallas Turner left. Christian Braswell left. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say that they're still going to get into the playoffs and in an 8 seed because it's still Alabama, and DeBoer is an excellent coach. I just see them having some growing pains throughout their first year, especially considering their schedule. That's why I don't have them as a higher seed, because they do have to play Georgia. They have to play at Tennessee. They have to play Missouri. At LSU, they have to play at Auburn, which is always a tough game for them, no matter what. The Iron Bowl is always going to be a tough game, especially at Auburn. And a sneakily tricky game this season is at Wisconsin. I think that could be a early season tough game for them. And then Notre Dame, I also think, gets in the playoff for kind of a different reason, though. They have a cupcake schedule this season, along with not needing to worry about conference play because they're an independent. They really don't have too many challenges, maybe just at A&M to open the season, and then later they play FSU, but even that game they get at home. And despite significant overhaul throughout the roster, they should be good enough to get to the playoff. Riley Leonard comes in from Duke. He'll be phenomenal. Mitchell Evans, obviously best tight end in football right now, or college football, that is. Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Prince, one of the top three backfields, I'd say, in college football. Phenomenal two-headed monster. And their defense will be elite, top three secondary in college football, which should help. You know, they don't have to rely on their offensive firepower as much, especially considering that's probably going to be not their strongest point. So between this 8-9 matchup, I'm going to go with Alabama taking it. I just think that Notre Dame won't be tested enough coming to this game. Alabama will have been tested throughout the season. So I have Alabama winning this game.
Yeah, I love that. So my 8-9 matchup, my 8 seed is also Alabama, and my 9 seed is Michigan.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, Cole talks so much about Alabama, and I agree on all those points. Saban gone, but you know, you still have Jalen Milroe, and you still have the strong, high-powered offense. But you know how this works. To win the SEC and to get the 4 seed, or to get one of the top 4 seeds, you have to win the SEC. And I don't think Bama's in a place to win the SEC right now. They're still a great and top 10 team. So I think they make the playoffs as a wild card. And for Michigan, I think it's also similar. I think you have to. There's teams like Ohio State that have a better chance of winning the Big Ten. And Michigan took a big step back. I mean, they hired interim coach Sharon Moore. And it's a fact. Hiring interim coaches is never the right thing to do. It seems like the right thing, but it never actually works out. And Michigan, being a top program like they are, they had their pick from any coach they wanted. And they chose Sharon Moore. And that could work out, but it's facts that it probably will not work out. And also, Alex Orji, although a very talented and athletic quarterback, we've never really seen him throw the ball in college. And so I still think this Michigan team is very high-powered and has great recruits and great players, but they don't have that superstar quarterback like J.J. McCarthy. They still have Donovan Edwards, who's great. The receiving core is okay. You know, I think Michigan's going to take a step back, but they're still going to be a top 10 team. And that's why I have this 8-9 matchup being Bama versus Michigan. And I have Bama winning this one.
All right. I really like your assessment of that. And I like that we agreed Bama is going to win this game as an 8 seed. Funny enough, though, I actually don't have Michigan in my 12-team playoff this year. They return exactly one starter on offense. Colston Loveland, top two tight end in college football. He's great. But I just don't think it's going to be enough this upcoming year. And especially looking at their schedule, I don't know that they have a route into the playoffs other than winning the Big Ten championship, which I think is unlikely. You look early season, they play Texas. You know, that's probably going to be a loss. So that already the committee is not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
They have to play USC, who could be a really good team this season. That'll be a test for them early on. But then, like, you have to play Oregon. That's very likely going to be a loss. You have to play at Ohio State to finish the season, more likely than not a loss. So you're already looking at 3 to 4 losses right there, which puts you out of the Big Ten championship. And along with being a 3 to 4 loss team and not really having too many other like good games on their schedule that can propel them into the playoff, I think they are a top 12 team, but I don't think they will make the 12 team playoff considering their schedule.
Yeah, that makes sense. But just how vamped the Big Ten is and how many superstar teams there is, I think there's a true possibility that the third seed in the Big Ten can still make the playoffs.
Oh,
and I think that is Michigan.
All right. And I actually,
yeah,
I like that take. It's just, while I think they could be the third best team in the Big Ten, their record might not reflect that. And at the end of the day, that's what the committee goes off of, is not just the eye test, but they do also go off of your record. And it would be really hard because this season there's going to be a lot of teams with 2 or 3 losses. It's going to be really hard. And a lot of those teams are probably going to be Big Ten teams, maybe like Penn State. A lot of them are going to be SEC teams, like kind of that middle tier, that Missouri, that LSU. So it would be hard to then look at a 4-loss Michigan who's lost to a lot of the teams that are going to be in this playoff and truly say like they deserve a spot. But we will see throughout the season. Let's move on to our next matchup, which is our 6 versus 11 matchup, where I have...
No, 5v12.
Oh, 5v12. Sorry. Wrong.
All good. Who do you got in that, Cole? 5v12.
I have the University of Georgia against Boise State. I have Boise State winning the Mountain West. I have Georgia not winning the SEC. And again, this one comes down to resume because they probably are the best team in the SEC, but I don't know that looking at their schedule, any team would be able to win all of their games. They have to play Clemson to open the season. While that's probably a win, that's a tough game to start the year. Then they have to play at Alabama, at Texas. They have to play neutral site in Jacksonville against Florida, which amazingly always turns out to be a good game, whether you like it or not. That's a rivalry game. They have to play at Ole Miss. They have to play against Tennessee. And so I believe that with that schedule, I'm looking at 1 or 2 losses, which could just be enough for a very top-heavy SEC to lock them out of that championship. Because of the way conferences are now set up, you don't have divisions within your conference. So it doesn't allow, it just comes down to tiebreakers for those 1 or 2 lost teams. But they are still probably going to be the best team in the country. Return basically their full offense. They add Trevor Etienne, Carson Beck's back. He finally gets an offseason where he's not in a quarterback battle. So he gets a full offseason of learning the offense, not having to worry about that. The defense, just full of chalk. 5 stars, 4 stars. Malachi Starks is a top 3 DB in college football. Mikel Williams is one of the best edges in college football. I don't think they'll be SEC champions because of their schedule, which I just don't see a world where they win every single one of those games, but they will be a lock for this 5 spot. So that, I know I'll get a lot of hate for not having Georgia as my SEC champions, but that's my logic behind it. But then winning the Mountain West, Boise State, I feel very confident saying it. 5-star transfer from USC, Malachi Nelson comes in. He's going to be a stud for them. Austin Jeantee, their reigning conference player of the year, he's going to shore up that ground game, averaged 112 yards per game last year as a sophomore. They got 5-star prospect Chris Marshall. He came in from JUCO after leaving Ole Miss due to disciplinary reasons. They returned their full offensive line. 7 starters on defense, including all Mountain West linebacker Andrew Simpson. I really wouldn't be surprised if these guys are the 12 seed and may even be able to surprise a few people with how they perform against Georgia. But I do have Georgia winning in the end.
I mean, yeah, I think that's all valid. I have a little bit of a different approach here. My 12 seed is the Tulane Green Wave. You know, one one of these teams not in the Power Five has to make it. And I think that's going to be Tulane, being in the American Conference. I think especially after UCF and Cincinnati leaving, Tulane is the most dominant team in the American Conference. And their schedule, although not a cakewalk, is doable for sure. I mean, they start the season with Southeastern Louisiana. They're going to smoke them. They play Kansas State and Oklahoma back-to-back. Those are very tough teams. That could be even two losses, but maybe they get one of those. But then from there, they go Louisiana, South Florida, University of Alabama, Birmingham, Rice, North Texas, Charlotte, Temple, and Navy. And then you finish the season with Memphis. I think it's a very winnable schedule and a Tulane team that's kind of underrated right now. Yes, Boise State got that five-star USC transfer Malachi Nelson. But Tulane got a five-star Oregon transfer Ty Thompson, who would have started if Dylan Gabriel didn't transfer to Oregon. You also have a five-star wide receiver transfer from USC, Mario Williams. Everyone knows him. So this offense is as revamped as it's been. I mean, you lose Michael Pratt, you lose Tajay Spears, but you still have a five-star QB transfer, a five-star receiver transfer, and an excellent running back that's under the radar named Mekhi Hughes. I think one of these teams has to make it, and Tulane is always underrated, and they have a great spot to win this division, the American, and sneak into that 12 seed.
Yeah, I really like your analysis there, and I feel like, especially as you mentioned, those games against K-State and Oklahoma early in the season, if you're even able to win one of those, no one's going to blame them if they lose one or even lose both. If they win one of those games, that will be huge for their resume because they'll probably sweep through the American, if not maybe one loss, right?
To SMU, I'd say, is the one team that could possibly beat us. They're pretty good.
Yeah, you look at, well, SMU is not in the American anymore.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's true. So it doesn't even matter. Yeah.
Not a conference game. So looking at what they've got, I feel like, because they have more resume builders than Boise State. That was my biggest issue with putting them in, is they don't have resume building games. They have a pretty easy conference schedule. They don't really test themselves non-con. So I feel like that could be the difference. Even if Boise State maybe has the better record, I could see them maybe giving it to Tulane based off of resume. But I feel like Boise State has a better chance to pass the eye test, if you will, just because they are stocked full of, you know, all Mountain West players, Malachi Nelson. But I agree that those are very viable options for those 12 spots. It'll be an interesting race.
It'll be super interesting. And taking on Tulane, I have the five-seeded Texas Longhorns. Like, I heard what Cole said, and I agree most of it. I think there's two A-plus teams in the SEC right now. It's Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs. And they play each other this season. I think they're both going to have amazing seasons, and it's going to come down to who wins that game between them, which then I guess will come on to the SEC championship. But I think that 1v1 between Texas and Georgia is going to show a lot who's going to get that bye in that likely one seed or two seed and who's going to get the five seed, I think. And for me, I think Georgia will outmatch Texas. And that's why I have Texas, of course, still making the playoffs, but they're not going to get that bye and they're not going to win the SEC championship. That's why I have them at my five seed. I think Texas is an excellent, excellent team. And the special thing about this new playoff bracket is that you don't have to be a top four team. You can be the 5, 6, 7, 8 seed and still make a run and still win the championship. So there's nothing against Texas. I love Quinn Ewers. I love that they got Isaiah Bond. I mean, their team is still very, very talented. I think Quinn Ewers last year showed that, I mean, he was getting a lot of hate before, you know, this 100 overall and 24/7 and this five-star that didn't do that much, but he showed a lot that he's a real superstar talent and he can win the Heisman. And this Texas team last year, especially with Sarkisian, that Sarkisian offense is really good, that this is a true team. And I think that although they're not going to win the SEC, Texas is a real fight for the championship, and they're going to secure the five seed for me and play Tulane, where I have Texas winning.
I really like that analysis. And, you know, I feel like that actually is going to be a really good matchup during the season. That mid-October game, right, at Texas, Georgia goes in there. I mean, DKR is going to be rocking for that game. It's going to be a fun game. That will definitely have major, not only conference championship appearance impacts, but say they do end up playing in the conference championship, that'll be an amazing game to watch. So I'm really excited for that one.
And there's a possibility that, you know, Georgia goes in and beats Texas, and then all of a sudden Texas doesn't make the SEC championship. Maybe it's a team like Bama. So there's a lot that goes on with that game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I love
it. Let's talk about the 10v7, Cole. What do you got?
Yeah, you actually led me in perfectly. I have Texas at the 7 seed. And you might be thinking, he doesn't have Georgia, he doesn't have Texas winning the SEC. I know. I've been.
Bro's got Vandy. Let's go.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. But Texas, I feel like will fall to the 7th seed, even though they should probably be higher ranked. I think that they lose in the SEC championship, so that'll hurt them in the rankings. They'll probably drop a few spots. But they've got a few good tests throughout the season. Georgia, they're at A&M, and they have a non-con game at Michigan, which will be a great resume builder. They can afford to lose a game in conference or two, maybe against Georgia, A&M, and they'll still make it to the conference championship. That'll be good for them. And like you said, Quinn Ewers looks to be a top QB in college football this year. Alabama transfer Isaiah Bond is going to be a superstar in that high-flying Texas offense. It's going to be a phenomenal year. One of the best O-lines in the whole SEC. I mean, any defense led by Pete Kwiatkowski is always going to be elite. And they return enough production on that defense to the point that they don't lose a step, I feel like. So I do have them at that 7 seed.
Yeah, gotcha. And who do you got your 10 seed?
My 10 seed, I've got the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Whew.
Everything just seems to be in Penn State's favor, and I believe that this will be the year they finally jump Michigan inside the Big Ten. Drew Aller, now he's an upperclassman. He's a junior. He should have a massive season ahead of him. This is his year to prove himself. But his job isn't too hard when you have probably the second best running back tandem in the nation, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen.
Yeah.
Adding 5-star Ohio State transfer Julian Fleming to lead their wide receiver room. That's huge for them. And then their defense, I mean, that's one of the best in the nation. Like, if for nothing else other than that, they have superstars. Abdul Carter, Danny Dennis Sutton, Kobe King, Jalen Reed. They are studded with absolute superstars. They have an extremely easy schedule. Their toughest game is going to be against Ohio State, but they even get them at home. Beaver Stadium will be packed for that game. That'll be a really tough game for Ohio State to go into Beaver Stadium. So I really like Penn State's chances to come out of the season with maybe one loss, maybe two, which I think will just be good enough for them to sneak in at the 10th seed.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that happening, but for me, I just see Penn State, and I just know that they're always a good team, and Coach Franklin's a great coach, but they just never seem to get it done in the clutch. They never seem to win those big games. And like you said, this is a down year for Michigan, so this is a year to project them to maybe win that game. But I like Drew Aller, but I don't.
This year, which is really nice for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Really easy conference schedule. They're only ranked. They avoid Oregon. They avoid Michigan. Their only real test is Ohio State. But on top of that, they get them at home, which will ease the pain of that game.
For sure. And, you know, I like Penn State a lot, but I still don't really think Drew Aller is that special of a quarterback. I think he's good, but especially for the revamped Big Ten, I don't even know if he's top four.
Yeah, he's got to step up this year. And
yeah,
I feel like he has a chance to do that. But at the end of the day, I have Texas winning this game and moving on as the 7 seed.
Yeah, yeah. So how many teams in the Big Ten do you have making the playoffs? I'm just curious.
I have one.
Three, right?
I have two. I have three. Yeah, three.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I have as well, just a little bit of a different order. And so for my 7 seed, I have the Ole Miss Rebels going against the 10 seed Miami Hurricanes. I guess I'll start with the Ole Miss Rebels. Coming off an amazing year. 11-2 record. Ole Miss has, you know, Lane Kiffin, the transfer portal god, and Jackson Dart, who's really stepped up these last few years and has shown this offense to be really high-powered and an excellent offense. They keep their receivers. Kiffin, you know, obviously hits the portal a lot. He got a lot of transfers to come. They lost Quinshon Judkins, but they got back another running back that was they got back Henry Parrish, and they continue to stock wide receiver transfers like Juice Wells from South Carolina, which I like a lot. And Jackson Dart is only getting better and better, and so is his offense. And I feel like at least Ole Miss, for me, is a team that's always fighting in that 6-10 range but can never clinch a playoff spot because it's really difficult to. And now this is their chance. Like, the 12-team playoff was an excellent thing for a team like Ole Miss because they're always right there, but always miss out in the playoffs. I think this offense, like I said, is really high-powered, and Jackson Dart has shown he's really a superstar, and this team could really make a run. And then I have him playing against the 10-seeded Miami Hurricanes. Miami's coming off somewhat of a down year. I mean, somewhat of a down streak of years, but this is supposed to be one of their best years in the last decade. Mario Cristobal is also an amazing recruiter, like Lane Kiffin, and they landed a five-star quarterback out of Washington State, Cam Ward, who everyone wanted. They dropped the whole NIL bag for him. And he originally committed to and declared for the draft, then came back to college to play for Miami. I mean, he's a great dual-threat quarterback, has the cannon, can run it. You know, they also get Oregon State transfer running back Damian Martinez, who's excellent, big, powerful, strong running back. They have Xavier Restrepo for one more season, who's an excellent slot receiver. They have Jacoby George, who's another receiver that's really good. Their defense is good, led by Reuben Bain. I think that this Miami team is going to shock a lot of people. And I think they're the second best team in the ACC behind only Florida State. And honestly, their schedule is not that hard. They've played two hard games, in my opinion. It's Florida and Florida State. I think Florida State would be tough to claim they could win, but Florida is for sure winnable. And other than that, I guess the third best team they play is like a Virginia Tech or a Louisville. They don't play Clemson. They don't play like a Notre Dame. They don't play like a UNC. None of those teams. They get off pretty easy in the ACC this year. I think this could be an excellent team, and a team that makes the playoffs potentially could go on a run. But with that said, I have Ole Miss winning.
I like all the hype that you put in there just for Ole Miss to win.
Yeah. I mean, I was hyping up Miami because you wouldn't think of them getting this far. But Ole Miss is still Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is an excellent damn team.
Yeah, they're going to be great this year, and I like your analysis with Miami as well. Let's move on to the 6 versus 11 game, how about? Mm-hmm. And in that game, I have 6-seeded Oregon coming into it.
Ooh.
I feel like they're going to be the third best team in the country. They are a force to be reckoned with. Dylan Gabriel, an elite QB.
6-seeded Oregon?
I think they're going to be great. They have a ton of weapons. Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart are going to be great. And they are complemented by Jordan James, who primes to be probably a top 10 running back in the nation this season and will definitely be a top running back within the Big Ten. Their defense is also an elite unit that should be one of the best in the nation. And Dan Lanning is really building a program out there in Eugene and looks to only improve in years to come. And this year should be the beginning of that uptick. I think this will be his first year getting a playoff bid, but it won't be his last year. This is going to be a team that's not built for this year, but is also built for years to come. I'm really impressed with what he's building out there. And then at my 11 seed, I have Utah out of the Big 12. There's a lot of teams I really considered putting in this spot. Michigan could have been it. LSU could have been it. Florida State, maybe. Miami were all very viable options, very realistic options. But the key for me is that Utah will likely have a better record heading into this. They have games at Kansas State versus Arizona, at Colorado versus Iowa State. These are all games that will look good when the committee goes over them, but they are likely wins. So that's really important for resume building while not necessarily sustaining losses. They can hopefully be good enough to make up for a possible loss at Oklahoma State early in the season or a potential loss up against them in the Big 12 title game, as I have projected, which is a little bit of an Easter egg for who my 4 seed is. Cam Rising will be back next year. It's part of a very, very senior heavy squad. I mean, this team is going to get decimated after this year. So this is their year. Both on offense and defense, they are star-studded. And it should be good enough to slide them in at the final spot of the playoff for the at-large bids. But within this game, I do have 6-seeded Oregon handily winning this game against Utah.
Yeah, I love both of that. I mean, we're going to talk about a loss of after this, and I'm going to talk about Oregon and Utah respectively, so I don't want to get into too much. My 6-seed, I have Ohio State taking on the 11-seed Notre Dame. Like I talked about earlier, I'm a huge fan of Oregon this year. I think they, like you talked about, I mean, they have unlimited NIL. They signed Dylan Gabriel. They have Tez Johnson. I'm going to get to them later. So I don't think Ohio State is going to win the Big Ten. Furthermore, they're going to make the playoffs. They're still Ohio State. So they got to be somewhere, right? So I have them. Ohio State is my 6-seed. I'm going to have Notre Dame as my 11-seed. Notre Dame especially has a hard time getting in just because they're technically an independent, which makes it hard. You know, you don't get an automatic bid. You can't win a championship. But I still think they're an excellent team. And someone who follows Duke and watches a lot of Duke, I think Riley Leonard is a very underrated and excellent prospect. I mean, he has the wheels. He can run. He can survey the field pretty well. He can maneuver in the pocket. He's a pretty underrated quarterback. And what Notre Dame has built always, I mean, you know, they're always amazing in the trenches. They always have those excellent tight ends and pass catchers. So I like the Notre Dame team a lot, especially with Riley Leonard. So I think they sneak in, but because of the no conference play, it's hard for them to give them like a top 10 seed. So I think it's going to be 6-seed Ohio State versus 11 seed Notre Dame. Like we talked about Ohio State as well. I mean, I love Will Howard. He's an excellent transfer, but he's not a super duper star. He's a solid quarterback. And I mean, obviously their offense is super, super good. Quinshon Judkins is an excellent transfer as well. Travion Henderson, and they probably have the best backfield in college football. They have the weapons. They have the amazing rookie in Jeremiah Smith. I think that's who I have winning. I have 6-seed Ohio State taking the game over 11-seed Notre Dame.
All right. And so I like that you sent me up there because that'll bring us back up to our 1 versus 8 seed, right? We're going to move on to that game.
Yep.
So I have 1-seed Ohio State playing against 8-seed Alabama. And the reason I have Ohio State at the 1-seed, they were a top 2 defense in college football last year. And now they add Caleb Downs to that, the best DB in all of college football. They add to the already one of the best defenses in the league. All seniors on their D-line, including JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Tyreek Williams, the best DB room in the country, Denzel Burke, David Igbinosum, Lathan Ransom. Now you add in Caleb Downs. The offense has probably the best wide receiver room in the country. First rounder, Amika Egbuka is going to be in there. Mm-hmm. 5 stars, Carnell Tate, Brandon Innes, Jaden Ballard, and now freshman Jeremiah Smith. Best running back room in the country, Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Improved QB play with Will Howard. And they add Chip Kelly as their play caller this season. A lot of people have forgotten about that. He's one of the best play callers in all of college football, and he left to go be an OC at Ohio State. And what does he love more than anything? A mobile quarterback. And what is Will Howard? A very mobile quarterback. He can run the ball. That is something that Kyle McCord was never able to do last season. They have a weak schedule this year, only 3 big games at Oregon and at Penn State, and then they get Michigan at home. The only one that necessarily scares me is that at Oregon game early in the season. That's going to be their toughest test. I feel like they'll be able to handle Penn State, and they'll be able to take care of business against Michigan. And the biggest thing for me is that Ryan Day knows it's now or never. He knows he's not going to have a job next year if he doesn't beat Michigan, if he doesn't deliver them a Big Ten championship. And this team knows that. These players are fired up. I believe this is the season Ohio State finally gets back on top of the Big Ten, finally gets back on top of Michigan. So I have Ohio State at the 1 seed playing against 8 seed Alabama, and I have Ohio State winning this game.
All valid. I mean, everything you said about Ohio State is very much true. For me, it just comes down to Ohio State and Oregon. And for me, I think I like Oregon more this year, which is why we have the difference in seeding. So for me, it's the 1-seeded Oregon versus 8-seeded Alabama. Like we talked about, I mean, Phil Knight came out, the owner of Nike, saying, I want to see a victory before I die. You have unlimited NIL. So, I mean, this Oregon team is stacked with prospects, and you add the best player in the portal in Dylan Gabriel. You keep your receiving core very much alive. You have Tez Johnson. I have the 1-seeded Oregon taking the 8-seed Alabama and winning that game. And for Bama, I still love Bama. I think, you know, losing Nick Saban, you add Kellen DeBoer has shown he can run a great offense. I mean, you saw the offense in UW last season. It was one of the best I've seen in the last 10 years, honestly. And so I don't think it's that going to be that big of an issue. Bama, I don't think the Bama fall off is going to be massive, but it's still the 1-seeded Oregon. And I think this Oregon team is ready for the championship this year. And like, also another thing about Oregon is that we've seen Dan Lanning set up an excellent offense for Bo Nix. And I think Dylan Gabriel is everything Bo Nix was and more. And the receiving corps is everything it was and more. I really think this team is better than last year's Oregon, and they have a better quarterback at the helm. So give me this Oregon team to move on and beat Bama.
Yeah, I really like that analysis. Oregon, I believe, is a top 3 team in the country, and I will die on that hill. I actually have them beating Ohio State during the regular season. It pains me to say that, but going into Eugene, I don't know that Ohio State will be ready for that game. I do have, though, in the Big Ten championship, Ohio State beating Oregon. So that's why I have Ohio State taking the top 4 slot from them. But that's going to be a really good matchup this year. I'm really excited for it. I think that's going to be one of those must-see TV games.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So shall we move on to our 4-5 matchup?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So at my number 4 slot, I have the Big 12 champions, Oklahoma State. They have an extremely easy schedule this year, especially in conference. They're only really tested by Utah, but they get to play them at home in Boone Pickens, which we know is one of the toughest places to play. They have the best college football running back, Ollie Gordon. Mm-hmm. They have one of the best O-lines in the country, definitely the best in the Big 12, with OSU returning all of their starters along the O-line. They will be an extremely run-heavy team this year, though, pounding the rock, wearing down defenses. Their defense, though, returns nearly all starters, 11 out of 12, a unit which was one of the strongest in the Big 12 already last season. The rest of the conference is fairly weak, with the only real threats being Utah or possibly K-State, though K-State is going to be weaker than usual this year. So I have Oklahoma State winning the Big 12, and I have them playing five-seeded Georgia, but I have Georgia pretty handily taking care of business against OK State.
Yeah, I like that. For me, I have the Big 12 champion, the Utah Utes, playing the five-seeded Texas Longhorns. You talked about the Utes a little bit before. We both love them, and I just want to make it clear. Every team that I say makes the playoffs, I love. It's just a matter of seeding and if it's possible to make the playoffs. And like you said, I mean, we bring back Cam Rising, who missed mostly all of last season or all of last season, and people forget how good he was. I remember 2 years ago him taking on Penn State in the Rose Bowl and beating him very much. And like you said, they also bring back nearly their entire team, all seniors. And this Utah Utes team is always clinically underrated, especially coming from the Pac-12. This team always gets it done, and they're never talked about enough. And I think arguably they're in an easier conference than they were years previously, especially with Oklahoma and Texas leaving the conference. This conference, yes, Oklahoma State is good. I think Kansas State is somewhat good. I think Utah is a force to be reckoned with and will take the Big 12 championship, which will give them the 4 seed, and they'll play the 5 seed in Texas. With that said, we're still playing SEC Texas, which is one of the best teams in college football. So I have Texas winning. But still, I do love Utah. And, you know, we didn't talk about him enough, but Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle for Texas, is an excellent left tackle, which means they can keep running the ball and protect for Quinn Ewers and throw to Isaiah Bond and throw to the other targets. And I take this Texas team to move on and beat the 4 seed of Utah.
Yeah, I love it. And I agree with you that Texas will, if that matchup were to happen, that's going to be a Texas victory. Utah, though, not to be disrespected. Obviously, we need to make that clear. We love all these teams.
Yeah.
If we have them as a top 12 playoff team, that means we like them. So, with that, let's move on to our 2-7 matchup, where I have the 2-seeded SEC champions Ole Miss playing against 7-seeded Texas.
No way.
Oh my God. The new era of conferences is the reason why. We used to be able to rely on having divisions within conferences, which would usually result in the two top teams from each division leading us in the championship. But in this new era of college football, in the SEC, conferences are no more. There are probably going to be a lot of teams with one loss, two loss. So does it come down to tiebreakers, which can be very unpredictable? Things like points for, points against, difference in score, all of those are tiebreakers. So I have Ole Miss by tiebreaker getting into the SEC championship against Texas, and I have them winning that game. Like I said, a big reason for this is that they have an easy pass to the SEC championship. Their only tough games are at LSU and versus Georgia at home. That's important because Vaught-Hemingway is a very tough environment to play in. But they avoid the four big dogs of Alabama. They avoid Texas. They avoid Missouri. They avoid Tennessee. Georgia has to play Clemson. They have to play Bama. They have to play Texas, Tennessee. They have all those tough games. And Ole Miss's offense is full of talent. Jackson Dart is an amazing quarterback. Trey Harris is one of the most underrated receivers in college football. Ulysses Bentley, UB4, he is going to be a stud. He's been sitting behind Quinshon Judkins, but he's poised to step up. He shined in moments last year when he got the ball. Their strengths are especially at DB. John Sanders and Trey Washington are returning. Trey Amos, the Alabama transfer, is coming in at cornerback. This Ole Miss team is a really, really talented team. And especially considering their easy schedule, they're going to get that second SEC championship spot. I really don't doubt that. They don't have the schedule in front of them to not make it. They have enough pushover games that they can win, and they will battle in their tough games. So I have them in the SEC championship winning. And then now at this point, they take on number 7-seeded Texas, where in a rematch between these schools, I have Texas winning though. So I have Texas moving on to the Final Four as the 7-seed.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I was talking highly about Ole Miss earlier, and I was worried you left him out of the playoffs. But no, you really loved him. Now, we all agree on the same points. I think Lane Kiffin is an excellent coach. I think Jackson Dart has shown he is the real deal. They keep Trey Harris, a speedster receiver that can catch it all over the field. They lose Judkins, but don't worry. They have Henry Parrish. They just transferred over. And they get Juice Wells from South Carolina. I have the 7-seeded Ole Miss taking on the 2-seeded Georgia Bulldogs. This Georgia Bulldogs team is no joke. Yes, we talk all this about Ole Miss, but I think Carson Beck is 100% a Heisman finalist. And they have ETN as well. And I think that the 2-seeded Georgia Bulldogs, which I think is one of the best teams in college football, will move on and take on the 6-seeded. We're not sure. I won't tell you yet.
All right. So shall we move on to our three versus six game?
Yes.
All right. We got ACC champion Clemson Tigers against the 6-seeded Oregon Ducks. I think Clemson is set to be the strongest team in the ACC. They really only have two big games all year, and only one of them is in conference play. They play at FSU, but they start the season off against Georgia, which is going to be a really tough game, but it's not a conference game, so it won't affect them making the conference championship. They're a much more physical team across the board with an extremely strong O-line. They return all five starters on that team, on that unit from last year. They beat out FSU in skill positions. I think Cade Klubnik is going to be a better quarterback this season than he has in years past. He's going to make the leap this year. I really believe in that. Antonio Williams, their receiver, is going to be a star. Jake Brenningstuhl is a phenomenal tight end, 4-star. He's in his sophomore year now. Some of the guys have really developed well in the Clemson system, such as Cole Turner at receiver. My only major question is their defense. They only returned 2 starters, and they didn't bring any transfers in to shore up those weaknesses. But the ACC is going to be a high-scoring conference this year, so I believe it will mostly be shootouts that they're finding themselves getting into, and I feel like this offense is so potent that they're going to be able to win in those shootouts. But that's until they meet number 6 Oregon in this playoff, where Oregon not only has the offense to compete with them, but they have the defense to stop them just enough. I have Oregon winning this game against Clemson.
Interesting. Yeah, I have the ACC championship and the 3-seeded Florida State Seminoles taking on the 6-seeded Ohio State Buckeyes. I do agree that Clemson is ready for a bounce back year, especially kind of a down year last year. Klubnik not playing that good. They lost some big matchups to teams like Duke. And but I do think that this Clemson versus Florida State matchup will go in Florida State's favor, especially with the transfer of DJ Uiagalelei, who showed he's really that guy last year, taking Oregon State to like the 16th best team in the country. So I have the 3-seeded Florida State taking on the 6-seeded Ohio State, but we've talked about Ohio State a lot. I still think Ohio State is very much the more dominant team, and the ACC is not nearly as dominant of a conference as like the Big Ten or the SEC. So I have 6-seeded Ohio State winning this matchup.
It's nice to hear. Now I'm about to talk about Ohio State, as they are the 1-seed playing against 5-seeded Georgia. These are the 2 strongest teams in college football. I really believe that. But I believe it will come down to physicality along the offensive and defensive lines. Well, I think Ohio State has the more physical defensive line. Georgia has the more physical offensive line. And I feel like Georgia's physicalness throughout their roster, their physicality, outmatches that of Ohio State. So while Ohio State will be able to rely on running from Will Howard, they'll be able to rely on Amika Buka. They have their two-headed monster in the backfield. At the end of the day, I think Georgia is going to be too strong of an opponent. So I have 5-seeded Georgia upsetting number 1 ranked Ohio State as Georgia moves on to the final.
For mine, I have the 1-seeded Oregon Ducks taking on the 5-seeded Texas Longhorns. Talked about both these teams a lot. You know how I feel about Oregon. I think this is the team to beat in college football this year. So I have the 1-seeded Oregon moving on to the championship game.
That's nice to hear. And in mine, I have 7-seeded Texas playing against 6-seeded Oregon. So look how that turns out.
Yeah.
In that game, though, I have Oregon overpowering Texas. So it's not an upset because the 6-seed wins this one. I have Oregon moving on to the finals. So in my finals, I have 5-seeded Georgia against 6-seeded Oregon.
No way, bro. Mine, I have 2-seeded Georgia versus 6-seeded Ohio State. I have the 2-seeded Georgia led by Carson Beck and Kirby Smart taking the game over 6-seeded Ohio State and meeting Oregon in the championship. 2-seeded Georgia versus 1-seeded Oregon.
So we had the exact same Final Four matchups.
Just different seedings. Yeah.
And we still get to the same result of a Georgia-Oregon finals.
And I guarantee we don't have the same thing at the end. Who do you got?
I feel like you're going to pick Oregon to win it.
Yes, I am.
You seem really high on Oregon. I actually have Georgia winning it. Like I said, the physicality of that Georgia offensive and defensive line is going to overwhelm Oregon. Oregon has such a strong roster. Their one weak point that everyone seems to talk about is that offensive line. They have a great offensive line. They're not a big offensive line. They like to run a lot of like gap schemes, but that's not going to lend well against this Georgia team whose defensive line you can't move around. They are not guys who you can just push aside to create a hole. These guys are more physical. I just don't see a world where Oregon is able to use their physicality to match Georgia. So I have Georgia winning this game, and I have it being probably about a 10-point difference. I would say a realistic score would be 30-20.
Yeah, I agree. Georgia, historically and this year included, always has that great, excellent, giant guys up front on the offensive line and the defensive line. And that's not really what Oregon has this year. I think Oregon has the upper hand in weapons. I think they have more speed and they have better, you know, wideouts. That's what they have. And Georgia is going to be better in the trenches. I think that it comes down to, especially in college football, those big plays, and Oregon has more big playability. Obviously, Georgia has great weapons, but not even close to what Oregon has this year. And it'll come down to the quarterback matchup. Both, I think, will be Heisman finalists. You know, I mean, it's hard to talk down when you're talking about the number one and two seeds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still love Georgia, but I have Oregon winning this game.
Yeah. I like it. So we seem to be pretty in tune on who the top four teams are, who's probably going to be in the final. You know, I feel like we're both realistic with that. We both have our teams in the 12-team playoff, but we both know where their faults lie.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I'm not going to put Tulane or Miami in the championship game. Like, I'm just going to be realistic.
Yeah, and same way. I would love Ohio State to upset Georgia. Columbus will be super fun that weekend. I will love it, but I don't see that happening realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. All right, you want to get to some of our underrated teams, teams we think are got something to prove and that people are disrespecting them.
All right, you start us off. Let's hear it.
I'll start us off with Missouri. Now, this team is always forgotten in the SEC, but this team is no joke. Yes, they're ranked high, but it seems like nobody besides industry professionals talk about them a lot. They went 11-2 in the SEC last year with losses to only Georgia and LSU. Those are both top programs in the nation. And their schedule was no cakewalk, let me tell you that. They beat teams like Tennessee, Florida, Kansas State, and even took it to Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. An Ohio State team that, yes, got better, but was still a great team last year. They returned nearly all their offense, including quarterback Brady Cook, who's, you know, not a Heisman finalist, but he's a serviceable quarterback in the SEC. And on top of that, they returned the best receiver in college football in Luther Burden III. This Missouri team showed last year that they can compete with all the big dogs, and they didn't. They only got better. They only aged more and kept their guys. And I think this team, although it would be hard to compete for a playoff spot because of how strong the SEC is, they could possibly still do that. And we'll just have to see what happens with their schedule. But last year, you look at this team, and they were so underrated and especially good and won some massive games.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead here. As my bust, I have the Missouri Tigers.
No way!
The Missouri Tigers are a near consensus top 10 team. But I will believe they will. I really believe they're going to regress after their Cinderella season last year. This team is extremely run heavy and extremely play action heavy.
Yeah.
The issue with that is that they do not return their superstar, Cody Schrader. He is one of the best running backs to come out of the SEC in a while. He dominated last season, but he's gone now. He's in the NFL. They do return a lot of offensive talent. Brady Cook, like you said, a very good quarterback, serviceable. The best wide receiver probably in college football. Luther Burden, All-American. But ultimately, they are a run-heavy and they're a play-action-heavy team. And Cody Schrader gone. The issue is that there doesn't seem to be a clear starter in that backfield as of now. Marcus Carroll and Nate Noel are both battling for that job, and neither of them really shined last year when they had their opportunities. Or in this spring, neither of them have really shown themselves to be a star team. The defense only returns four starters from last year, and they have to rely on a brand new defensive coordinator, Corey Batoon, to make the best of what remains of that team from a pretty staunch defense last year. So they're going to have to really switch up not only their offensive schemes, their defense is going to be completely different. I don't know that they can capture that same magic from last year. If you're having to change up your entire offensive scheme, it's going to be really difficult to replicate the same results you had last year. Luther Burden obviously is going to be a superstar, but the rest of that team is pretty weak. You look at their offensive line, they lost three of their starters, and the two they returned were probably their two weaker of the starters. You look at the loss of their most important player, their ground game, Cody Schrader. I really think people are not looking at the red flags for this team and are just looking at the shiny object of, oh, Luther Burden, and oh, they're gonna make so many big plays. I feel like when the season goes along, there's a lot of games that could trip them up that they maybe won by a score last year that probably will get flipped to a scored this year. Like a 7-point win last year is a 7-point loss this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree, and I see that there's red flags for sure, but every team loses players in college football. It's impossible to keep your entire team. And as long as you can keep the stars and you fill in the holes with other people, it's very possible to keep it and run it back. And over the case of last year, they only got better and better, where at the end of the season, they peaked. The final game was against Ohio State, where they won by two scores. I really think that this team is just getting better and better. They're not declining right now. They're only on the upscale. And you keep your quarterback, you keep your receiver. Obviously, you can't keep everyone. I think that this team is still going to fight in the SEC and still going to win big games in the SEC. And I'd love to make a bet with you.
All right. So they went 6-2 in SEC play last year. I'm willing to bet that they do not do better than 6-2 in SEC play this year.
Oh, well, No. I don't want to bet that. That's not a good bet.
Why?
Because last year they had an especially amazing season, but the SEC is harder. I mean, as hard or even harder this year.
I'm saying that they're being overrated. That's why I have them as a bust. People are expecting them, as you are, to make the college football playoff. I do not have them making the college football
playoff. No, I don't have them making the college football playoff either, actually. Oh, but no, I don't. They're ranked high, but I think no one sees them as a real fighter for the playoffs. I think they could make the playoffs for sure.
You would also have them as a bust team if, you know, they are pretty consistently ranked 9, 10, 11 in the rankings. You don't even have them in your playoff. You don't have them going more than 6 wins in their own conference, which isn't a lot to ask for from a contending team. I think that part of that is the bust. Like, they're not going to be as good as they were last year, despite what the rankings are showing in preseason and what a lot of people are expecting from them.
I think there's a difference between a bust and just not as ranked as last year. I mean, if they were the 16th best team in college football, would they be a bust?
Not necessarily, but it would be it certainly wouldn't make them an underrated team.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess you don't hear enough talked about Missouri, but they are really a team to fight. And although I think they're ranked in the top 10 right now, I could see them finishing well off in the top 15, and that wouldn't surprise me. But people think this top 10 ranking is way too high. So,
yeah, it's going to be an important season for the future of that program too. It really will decide whether this is a team that's going to continue on the up.
Do you think they'll be a top 15 team next year?
I believe they will be a 20 to 25 type team. I feel like they're going to have 3 SEC losses, which still isn't bad. I mean, 5-3 and 8 SEC.
That's not a bust. If you're ranked at all, it's not a bust for any team.
But I also wouldn't say that they're underrated. And considering that a lot of the projections are that they make the playoffs, when you have those expectations to then be ranked, 23 come the end of the season, I feel like a lot of people at Missouri are going to say, oh, that season was a bust. Like, we didn't have the growth we wanted. We regressed as a team. I feel like that's more what a bust is if your team's regressing instead of progressing.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, at a certain point, if you're that good, every team has to regress a little bit. I mean, Bama wasn't a bust last year. They weren't as good as they were the year before.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that, I mean, they still made the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Is an improvement.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's move on to more underrated teams. I have Wisconsin as a very underrated team. Miami transferred Tyler Van Dyke gets a fresh start. I feel like that's really important for him. He did not live up to the system with Mario Cristobal. He gets a fresh start there at Wisconsin. He's protected by one of the most physical O-lines in the country. And Luke Fickell is a coach I really believe in. He's starting to put together the team that he wants rather than the team he's inherited. He took over the program a year ago, and they weren't really all that impressive. And he actually turned them around a little. And look at what he did at Cincinnati. He took a group of five team, made them into a national contender, and brought them to the playoff. That is a really impressive thing for a coach to do. So he's only been there a year. He's finally bringing in his guys, his recruits, his transfers. He's moving out the guys from the team that was struggling before him. I think Wisconsin is a team a lot of people are sleeping on. They have a big game against Alabama early in the season. And even if they're able to make that a close game, maybe a one score, 10 point type game, a lot of people will look at Wisconsin and say, all right, like this team's pretty legit this season. They can do some damage in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Wisconsin's always a big and physical team. In the Big Ten, although very hard this year, there's winnable games for Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin could be an underrated team. I mean, I don't think there are any playoff value in them, but they could be a top 25 team for sure. My other team, what we talked about a lot, is Utah. Utah has been slept on for years. I mean, they got Cam Rising back. He was a great college football quarterback for years. And they didn't join the Big Ten. They joined the Big 12. It's a big difference. With Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, the Big 12 is wide open. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Utah is the 4 seed going into the playoffs. The hardest team on the schedule is Oklahoma State and Arizona. They don't play superstar teams like other programs. Although those are good teams, you know, this isn't the SEC ball. This isn't Big Ten ball. Oklahoma State and Arizona are both very winnable games for Utah. And like you talked about earlier, those are also resume games. If you win, get that game against Oklahoma State, you win that game against Arizona, those are teams that are both probably going to be ranked as well. And I think Utah has a great chance to win those. So I have them as an underrated team.
I love that take. And I have Utah making it into the playoff as an at-large bid, which means you have to be really good. Because if you're not winning your conference title, you better be a very impressive team to still make it. I love that take. I think Utah is going to be great this year. Another team I have is underrated. I'm going like way out to left field here. I think this is a team that could sneak in as that 12 seed as a G5 conference championship. I love Texas State, the portal team. I say the portal team. GJ Kinney revamped this program into a winning team last year in his first season as head coach by taking full advantage of the portal. He brought in 25 transfers. This season, it's no different. He's brought in another 18, including that last year's Sun Belt Player of the Year, Jordan McLeod at QB from James Madison. This team is loaded from top to bottom with premium talent that were brought in through the program over the last two seasons. Do not be surprised if this team wins the Sun Belt, and especially don't be surprised if this team sneaks in at that 12 seed. I really believe it is going to be between them, and it's going to be between Boise State for that slot. Boise State, I feel like, is the stronger team. But if Texas State is able to sweep through the Sun Belt without any hiccups, as I believe they will, this Texas State team is pretty legit. A lot of people don't even know Texas State's a school. I really like them this season.
Yeah, I can see that happening for sure. I'm super interested in what's going to happen with the group of five teams, which one's going to make the playoffs. My group of five team that I have is underrated, and I talked about them earlier, is the Tulane Green Wave. Like we talked about, one of these group of five teams is going to get a bid. I think Tulane probably has the best odds. People are always confused on why they're ranked so high in the last few years. Tulane, what are they doing in the top 15? What are they doing in the top 20? People didn't wake up to this team because it's no joke. Let's not forget a couple years back when everyone was clowning them for making a New Year's Six Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and where they played against Heisman year Caleb Williams and the USC team that hardly missed the playoffs. It was a big deal when they lost that game and Utah missed the playoffs. And Tulane went in and beat them. They lost their star QB, Michael Pratt, which is a big deal. He went to the end of the draft, and he got drafted. He's a real talent. But they gained five-star Ty Thompson. Although lacking experience, he was a five-star. He sat behind Bo Nix at Oregon, which means he probably got a lot of good reps. And he would have started if not for the best player in the portal, Dylan Gabriel, going to Oregon. They get Ty Thompson. They also get a five-star wide receiver transfer from USC, Mario Williams, to join this already pretty explosive backfield with Mekhi Hughes. I think this team, they also get they have a new coach from Temple who won three championships at Temple. I think that this team is underrated and can sneak in because the American is pretty weak this year and get that 12 seed bid.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. I have one final team that I have, because I already did my bust. So I'll just do my final team that I have as a underrated team. I have Michigan State. Jonathan Smith is a very good coach. He's coming over from Oregon State. He brings with him Aiden Childs, who I think is going to be one of the more underrated players in college football this season. He's a stud at quarterback, but that guy is mobile. And the best thing about it is that they need a mobile quarterback there. That Michigan State O-line is really bad. They brought in a few transfers from Oregon State with them, but they weren't enough to fix that offensive line. And the defense isn't much to talk about. So this is a team that is going to rely on their quarterback. I have Aiden Childs as a, I'm not going to like talk about it until later, but I have him as a dark horse Heisman candidate. If he's even able to get this Michigan State team to bowl contention, I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 wins, that would be a huge accomplishment. So I really wouldn't want to sleep on Michigan State. And maybe I am a little fortuitous in saying that Michigan State as a team is underrated when I should be staying more. Aiden Childs is underrated. Jonathan Smith is underrated as a coach. But I'm really happy that this team made the changes they needed. They lose their coach at the beginning of last season because he, you know, he did all the inappropriate stuff. We never forget Mel Tucker. But this Michigan State team is ready for a revamped season, revamped coaching, revamped quarterback. Do not sleep on them. I would be very hard-pressed for them to not make bowl contention.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think Aiden Childs was underrated, and that's a good pick. So I'll talk about my bust now, because you already talked about yours. My major bust is the Oklahoma Sooners.
Love it.
Not because I think the Oklahoma Sooners is a bad team. Not at all. It's because I think they might have the hardest schedule, maybe Florida, besides Florida, in all of college football. Let me tell you who they play a little bit. First of all, I mean, let's talk about what they lost. I mean, they lost superstar quarterback Dylan Gabriel. And they have inexperienced sophomore quarterback Jackson Arnold, who will lead this season. Yes, he's a five-star prospect, but we've seen nothing from him. He has pretty much no experience. And Oklahoma is not an easy spot to just get learning, especially this year with this schedule. They play Tennessee, Bama, and Tulane at home. They play Ole Miss, Missouri, LSU, and Auburn away. And not to mention the Red River game against Texas at a neutral site. That's like 7 games that could go that I think there's a chance that they lose. They might win 2 or 3 of those games. Although this team isn't some bad team, oh, they didn't lost all they lost everything. It's not that. This team could possibly be hovering around 500, even a losing record, just because of how hard their schedule is and that they're not particularly talented this year. So I think, I mean, games like Ole Miss and Auburn and Texas and Bama and Tennessee, I mean, they play everyone. They got screwed over, and that's just the way it is. They're not going to be ranked, I don't think.
No, I love that take, actually. And I'm really not a big believer in Brent Venerables. I feel like he's not a great coach in terms of getting a team to believe in like a goal. That's the biggest thing with coaches is if you get your players to buy in on a team goal, they'll all go all in. I just don't know that he makes enough connection with the players. I'm not a big Venerables fan. Love your take. Shall we move on to our Heisman finalists?
Yeah, let's do it. Want me to start?
So I kind of did mine. I kind of organized mine by dark horse, and then I put a maybe, and then I have my two main contenders. So my dark horse, I already talked about Aiden Childs. If he has a really good season, he's going to be one of those guys who's like on the ESPN top 10 every week. He's going to be super impressive. I have Ollie Gordon as a maybe.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
If he has the season that a lot of people believe he can have, that I believe he can have, I don't necessarily think he's going to win the Heisman, but I would not be surprised if you see him in New York for that ceremony as a top 5 finalist. If he leads the nation in rushing yards, I believe he will. I think he's going to be there. He always gets the ball in the end zone. They love to use him in the red zone. He has the best O-line in the Big 12, which is going to be great because the Big 12 is pretty weak, right? Probably the weakest of the 4 major conferences.
Oh, for sure.
I really love Ollie Gordon. And then my two main contenders, we've already talked about them a lot, so I won't beat a dead horse here, but Carson Beck, if you're on the team that's probably going to be a final contender, you're gonna get enough publicity around you. I mean, Stetson Bennett was a Heisman finalist as a Georgia quarterback. That's just how it works. Same with Dylan Gabriel, except I actually think he will win it. He has way more talent than Carson Beck. He's going to be on a contending team. He gets to play in the Big Ten this season, which is going to be fun to watch him try and throw over those defenses. I would like to select Dylan Gabriel as my Heisman finalist and Heisman winner this year.
Yeah, I love that take. And I love how you talked about, you know, if you're one of the top teams, you get enough publicity and you pretty much get the award and you are a finalist. I mean, let's think about Max Duggan a few years ago. Max Duggan was good, but, you know, he's nothing special. I mean, look what he is now. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. He was on a practice squad for the Chargers. Who knows where he is now? But I think that's something that's special that's starting this year is that in the past, you had to pretty much be one of the top four teams making the playoffs to even get in the Heisman consideration. Now we have 12 teams making the playoffs, which means that many more guys are in the consideration, are going to get that publicity, are going to get that hype that could possibly make it, which is so much better for these programs that are great, but aren't Bama and Georgia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, I have the big two, which I have is Dylan Gabriel and Quinn Ewers. We talked about both of them a lot. Talked about Dylan Gabriel a lot. I think this Oregon offense is very high-powered. They have unlimited NIL. I think Dan Lanning has shown he can run a very high-powered offense with Bo Nix. Bo Nix, although great, I think Gabriel is even better. Receiving corps is even better. And then we have Quinn Ewers, who also came off an amazing season in a Texas team that lost both their receivers, but got Isaiah Bond, and they have other receivers that are still excellent. This team's also going to be great. I think those are my two main front runners. And because the 12-team playoff and there's more options for quarterbacks, I have two somewhat dark horses that are still, you know, pretty good odds to make it, but nothing special, you know. I have Cam Ward and Jackson Dart as my other two. We talked about both these guys a lot already, actually. But, you know, Ole Miss is very much on the come up with Kiffin and at the helm, and they capped off last season with an 11-2 record and a New Year's Six win over Penn State. The anticipation this year is to be in the 12-team playoff mix and potentially win playoff games. And I think it's possible with this high-powered offense. If that's the case, no reason why Dart can't be a Heisman finalist. And also, this may not seem like a big point, but it actually is. Marketing and media is a big thing. Jackson Dart is a handsome guy. He has a lot of aura. He's someone who everyone loves, you know what I mean? And that's actually a big deal. You know what I mean? He's big on social media. Yeah. So I think Dart is one of those guys who that does help and with his play could make it. And finally, we have Cam Ward. We've talked about a lot, you know, played amazing at Washington State, but because he was at Washington State, you don't get the hype you would at a bigger program. Miami, although not SEC ball, is a big program and does have a lot of hype behind their name. Another thing I like about Cam Ward a lot is the big play ability. Those highlights, those big plays, those, you know, scrambling out of the pocket, back foot, 60-yard bomb. Yes, those Heisman moments are, you know, the Sports Center top tens are what get you the hype and the media and the clicks. And that's what the Heisman votes are. I think Cam Ward has a great chance to have a lot of those plays this year just because of his play style and this high-powered offense. You know, they could put up 35 a game. I mean, they have a lot of superstars on offense, and the defense is only all right. So it might be a lot of high-scoring games, you know. So I have Dylan Gabriel and Quinn Ewers as my two. I could pretty much bank on going to be there. I think Dart and Ward as my somewhat dark horses are who I have, and I have Gabriel winning the Heisman.
I really like it. All right, glad we're in tune on that one. Mm-hmm. And then now, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this. Let's just go over some like big offseason moves that we think are going to be impactful this season. Who do you have as some of these moves?
Hold on. Oh yeah, here I have one of the big offseason winners. We've talked about him so much, but I'm going to keep beating the dead horse. Ole Miss. They call him Lane Portal King Kiffin. That's actually what they call him. Defense was the issue. I mean, he's an excellent recruiter, this Lane Kiffin. Defense was the main issue last year. The offense was already very powerful. And they added multiple star linebackers like Walter Nolan and Chris Paul. Yes, his name is actually Chris Paul. It's pretty hype. they lost Quinshon Judkins, you know, which is probably a top three back in the league. But they add a great replacement and Henry Parrish. And they continue to stack wide receiver transfers like Juice Wells from the Gamecocks. So I think a team like Ole Miss, where defense was the main issue and they covered a lot of defensive holes and they kept a lot on offense, and Lane Kiffin, who I think is, you know, been in the industry forever and a great coach and knows what the hell he's doing, can lead this team to, hopefully, I think a playoff victory is possible. Although I do have him winning one playoff game. Yeah, I do.
I like it. One of the big ones that I had was Isaiah Bond to Texas. Not a lot of people seem to be talking about this as much, but Isaiah Bond was a superstar at Alabama, and he's only going to be better in an air raid offense at Texas. This is a team that lost A.D. Mitchell and that lost Xavier Worthy. So Isaiah Bond goes there, and he is immediately the number one target in an air raid offense. He has Ewers throwing him the ball. I love his opportunity to not only be a superstar like he was at Alabama, but to project himself into being a solid first rounder this upcoming year. Another really underrated move is Aiden Childs to Michigan State. I already talked about that one, so I won't keep talking about that. And then Caleb Downs to Ohio State. You can't Can't ignore that one. The best DB in all of college football goes to a team that was already probably the best defense in college football, that retained all their starters. He now goes in there. He's going to line up opposite Lathan Ransom in that secondary. Awesome name, by the way, Lathan Ransom. Coolest name I've ever heard a safety have. So I feel like that was a really big move. And then the one that we don't even need to really discuss because we've discussed him so much is Dillon Gabriel to Oregon. Obviously, we both have him as our Heisman winner. But those are my four biggest moves that I have this offseason.
Yeah, I approach it a little differently. I talked about the teams I thought that had the best moves. But Oregon is also one of my teams. You know, I talked about it a lot. I don't want to even talk about Gabriel anymore. But then, you know, they also added wide receiver Evan Stewart from Texas A&M, which is, you know, excellent to add to the Tez Johnson, who's
former five star.
Yeah, that duel in outside will be really good for Gabriel. And although the O line and D line is still not perfect, they did get multiple transfers on that side of the ball, on both sides of the ball, which is good. And then finally, I have Florida State, which is mostly DJU going to Florida State. DJU going to Oregon State, which Oregon State is an okay program, but nothing to write home about, and showing that he can pretty much win any game with them, showed how good DJU really was. And then this Florida State team that was robbed of a playoff bid and had Jordan Travis, who's I think of as somewhat of a similar player as DJU, but I think DJU is a better player. So you get rid of Travis, but you add DJU. Yes, you lose the receivers, Coleman and Johnny Wilson, but they still have five stars receiver prospects. And Florida State is always a team that recruits very well. You know, teams like that where you recruit very well, you just need, you know, the superstar captain players, that quarterback, that D tackle, that running back. And then around that, you can build. And I think DJU can throw the ball downfield, and he is someone who is going to look really good in this Florida State offense. And they also added wide receiver Malik Benson and running back Roydell Williams from Bama. Bama transfers are great players, and they also added three O-linemen. So, you know, this Florida State team is a force to be reckoned with for sure.
Yeah, I love it. All right, well, this was a very good episode. You got anything more to say?
No, but expect more from us because, you know, we're both going to go to college and we're both doing sports management in college. So I want to keep making this content. And, you know, the more we do it, the more we learn. I would say before the season, I was mostly in the NFL and I'm just, you know, somewhat learning more about college football now and get ready for a lot of college football content because that's what I'm trying to get my knowledge up, you know, my ball knowledge up. And, you know, if you watch us, thank you guys so much. And peace from Blake Shiel and Cole Roberts.
See you guys.